radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Paulie G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
National championship is in the balance. 13 seconds left. Florida leads it by two.
Uzan gonna go.
Uzan, give it up. Cryer, 6 seconds, 5 seconds. Sharp.
He won. He can't touch it.
He can't. 1 second.
C-O-U-G-A-R-S. We're talking about the Cougars. C-O-U-G-A-R-S. It's the mother, can't say that word, Cougars. There's no worse hangover than making it all the way to the championship game, only to see your favorite team lose. There's really nothing worse. And your boy's been hungover quite a few times in his life. I'd prefer the alcohol poisoning. I prefer to be curled up around the toilet. I prefer my stomach to be leaving my stomach than to experience that again. It sucks. And yeah, Paul Gallant is a bandwagon Houston Cougar fan, but I felt like I got punched in the gut last night. Maybe a little stab or two. What a brutal way to go out. What a brutal end to what was really an incredible season by a Houston sports team. They went 35-5, these Houston Cougars, and they had this thing. They had it. That's the worst part about it. You know, as we all deal collectively with this hangover with the Cougs, once again, unable to knock the door down and get that first ever championship. Now 0-3 in the national title. You know they effed up. You know they blew this. You know that they screwed up. And I'm sure there's some people out there that are angry today. But I can't be that. That is not happening for me today, despite what the Cougars did, which is choke this game away. I mean, this was a choke. 12-point lead in the second half. Their last four possessions ended with the turnover. They were winning for 30 minutes and 44 seconds of last night's national title game against the Florida Gators. Florida was just winning for 1 minute and 3 seconds. The last of them, the last 46, ultimately get them the win. Houston trailed for 63 seconds all night. It's the third biggest comeback in NCAA title game history, and Florida did it without making a field goal for the last 3 minutes and 14 seconds. Choke. You don't want to call it that because of what this team is and what this team's been, but oh, that last play in particular, and really the last 30 seconds for Emmanuel Sharp. I feel horrible for him, but he blew it. Kelvin Sampson and Jawan Roberts after the game both said the last play of the game was designed to go to LJ Cryer, the Cougs' best scorer, probably their best player. And if that didn't work, it would be an elevated screen for Emmanuel Sharp. And instead, what we saw with those last, 16 seconds or so was just very, very slow development. And ultimately, Emmanuel Sharp second-guessed himself while jumping up for what would have been the go-ahead three, but the Cougs were down just two. And it wasn't Sharp's only gaffe down the stretch. 30 seconds to go, he gets stripped by Will Richard, who forced Sharp to basically throw it out of bounds with 26 seconds to go. And there were other mistakes, too. The turnover after Tugler got a rebound. LJ Cryer did a Jalen Green. He had a baseline drive to nowhere. He loses the ball. Oh, I mean, reliving all of it sucks. And I know how this sports town generally rolls. When something horrible happens, everyone wants to just move on. No one wants to relive it. And I get it. I mean, that game last night, whether you went to the University of Houston or you were just along for the ride, ow. I saw someone post, this was just like 1983, NC State against the Cougs, where, I mean, take a look at the end of that game. NC State almost screwed that one up on that last possession. If you've gone and you've watched the replay and they take a last second deep shot, it's nowhere close to going in. And then Lorenzo Charles's ass comes out of nowhere, grabs the ball, tips it in. That's it. And I mean, here you are, much like in 1983, losing to the youngest coach since Jim Valvano in Todd Golden, who also doesn't exactly have the best track record off the court, if you will. So I feel for all these guys. It was really hard this morning watching all these young men going through it afterwards, meeting with reporters in the locker room right after it went down. In particular, I really felt for Malik Wilson, who was straight crying. No shame in that. No shame in that when you come that close and it ends like that. But hearing Roberts talking about how, like, this is it, I can't be with the team next year. Hearing Kelvin Sampson talk about how special this team was. It just sucks. So if you want to vent, you can. We are the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. I am wearing the Cougar hat again today. Wore it out last night. Watched the first half of the game at Porch Swing Pub. Watched the second half of the game at FAO, which was where we did the show yesterday. At least had some nice drinks along the way. Watched it with some fun people. But that was tough. We're all here for each other today. So you know how to get aboard. We've already got people blaming Ted Cruz on the text line and on Twitch. We got people doing it on YouTube as well. I know people are blaming the referees. I know that that is the easiest thing to do in a game where in the first half, four fouls called, second half, completely different game. There's lots of things to point the finger at. Sadly, the one that you have to point the finger at the most are the Cougs. They shot themselves in the foot in this one. They did choke it away. No matter how much we like them, no matter how much we appreciate all they were able to do this season, it was a joke. And it sucks. I really feel for these kids. Paul, they're young adults. You get what I'm saying here. It's absolutely brutal to have something ripped away from you by your own doing. And, I mean, no one's feeling worse than they are today. I saw afterwards They were actually going out of the locker room and signing autographs and mingling with fans after that. God, that's got to suck. Like, I can't imagine doing that. Hell, I was just thinking about how Walter Clayton was going up to Emmanuel Sharpe after that moment happened. I'm going to make my first funny of the show. If Walter Clayton had done that to me, I am dropping his ass. I am going to town. The story is no longer about losing the national title, Sean. It's about the assault that I just committed on someone who was being a really good sport, because I would have felt patronized.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he being a good sport? Is he being a good sport by doing that? I don't know.
I mean, Sharp was on the ground.
No.
Like it's the end of Platoon minus the gunshots.
Yeah, but you didn't see the Vietnamese walk over and be like, you all right?
You all right, buddy? Yeah, that didn't happen.
You all right, Willem Dafoe?
Yeah. That moment,
I hate it whenever that happens, and everyone always goes like, "What class?" And I am always like, if I was on the ground, I'd punch him in the stomach.
100%, right in the nads.
Get away from me, dude.
I am going Draymond on your ass, or Dylan Brooks. So you want to vent? You can. Cougs lost. Everything sucks. 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We are your vent line. After a brutal, brutal loss for Houston sports, one of the worst in the city's history, stay put.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Well, I'm so proud of this team for what they've done. You know, winning the Big 12, winning the Big 12 tournament, winning five consecutive games, and coming within the eyelash of winning a national championship. I love these kids. I love this staff. I love this program. And this one hurts. This one stings. But, you know, at some point, these guys will realize how special they are.
That is Cougs head coach Kelvin Sampson after his Cougars fell 65-63 last night to the Florida Gators in college basketball's national championship. I feel like Kelvin Sampson, even though the Cougars choked it away, I don't have the anger, I don't have the rage about the collapse that I would 100%, and perhaps this is unfair, this is not the kind of energy I'd have, say, the Texans blew a game like this, the Rockets blew a game like this, the Astros blew a game like this. But I do think it is different when we're talking about pro sports versus college sports, especially when we're talking about the NCAA tournament, which is such a crapshoot. I know that we saw 4-1 seeds in the Final Four, and that I think the number one overall seed in Florida actually won the whole damn thing. They weren't the number one overall official seed, Sean? Okay.
Auburn was.
Auburn was the official one. Okay. So Florida wins it. In a game where the Cougs were strangling at times Florida, dominating inside before the game changed. It does all add up to Paul should be pissed. Paul should be calling him a bunch of choking frauds. I can't. I don't know why. I can't. A texter said you should be angry, not sad and crying. Another comment, Paul, you're acting like someone died. Yeah. A chance at the Houston Sports Championship. They blew it. Terrible offense the last 13 minutes. It is what it is. They certainly did choke this thing away. Multiple comments, choke city, both on the text line and on Twitch. Mr. Mills comments on YouTube. The only reason they were there in the first place was because Gonzaga and Duke blew it. Stop crying. You should be happy you made it that far. That's not how it works. That's not how it works.
I like that Florida only won because Because, well, first, because Texas Tech blew it, because Auburn blew it, because they're up 9 or 10 in the Final Four, because Houston blew it, because Gonzaga blew it, because Purdue blew it. Like, just, we can just go back all the way down, because Duke blew it. Like,
everyone blew it.
At a certain point, it's just called winning close games. Like, mm-hmm. These are a lot of close games that one team has to win, one team has to lose. Although I will say, Duke did blow it. Duke blew it worse.
Duke blew it worse.
They couldn't even inbound the ball. Well, I guess you could say the U of H couldn't put up a shot.
They couldn't put up a shot. They blew it in different ways. Florida did play great defense in that moment. The Cougs were a little bit too slow getting things together. Both things can be true. They choked it away last night, but I'm not going to bring the fire and brimstone today. Just not. They had a great season, and then they just couldn't figure out how to score down the stretch in a game that, let's be honest, for most of it, neither team knew how to do offense. I mean, it's hard for me to get mad about a loss, even if they choked it away, when they shut down Walter Clayton. Like, they shut him down. He couldn't do anything all game. Did he have any points in the first half? You know? 0 points. They did what they were supposed to, but then they couldn't score. And we all knew that was a potential issue for them, right? I mean, Purdue, among other games, there were moments where all of a sudden the offense just stops. It happened against the Zags. Them's the breaks. More comments here. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Trill O'Reilly says championship should be a 3-game series. No, that would ruin March Madness. It's got to all be one. We can't have it be 5 rounds of one game and then then in the national titles a 3-game series. Nah, you can't have it that way.
No, you make them all.
Oh,
actually, 3 games is even. Make them all 7-game series.
Sean, the NCAA tournament would be longer than the NBA playoffs, yeah. Which it already is close to as it is, because it's what, 4 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
No, we can't do that. It's one, and that's it. No 3-game series. They blew it.
Maybe
they
just
choked
16
it.
Teams, a couple extras, play-in games. Actually, let's just make it the NBA playoffs.
Stop. Stop.
I do like the year where it's 4-1 seeds. We're like, it should be best of 3.
More comments here on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. On YouTube, at ESPN Houston. On Twitch, at ESPN 975. At least we can finally all get over when Kansas City came back on Houston in the playoffs that one year. We will at 1 o'clock be doing worst sports losses in Houston sports history. There's certainly a lot. Obviously got for the Cougs, 1983 against NC State. For the Texans, you got blowing the 24-7 lead on the Chiefs. For the Rockets, you got Game 7 against the Warriors in 2018. For the Astros, you have Game 7 of the 2019 World Series. I check all the boxes? I think I did.
That's the big ones. Those mm-hmm. are the big ones.
Yeah.
We can probably have a deeper, go a little bit deeper on those, or on those. You know what? Let's do it at 1 o'clock. Let's do it.
1 o'clock. We'll wait. This sucks, man. I really feel hungover, and I did have beverages yesterday, but not enough to actually make me feel hungover. The hangover was this morning, just going through and watching all of these guys talking about how this is it. It was just like, oh, God. You know, honestly, if I had come in without having watched every single player talk about it. LJ Cryer, Juwan Roberts, especially Malik Wilson. Had I come in without having watched all that, potentially the fire and brimstone was on the table. But now I just feel awful for them. Like, that's my first thought. I feel awful for them because they choked and they know they choked. Like, that's what it is. They know that they blew it. And now they got to live with it. And that just sucks. That sucks. It's not like some flukish Florida thing happened, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking from my own fan perspective, and again, I'm a bandwagon Coug fan. I can't even imagine if you're an actual Coug, you went to this game in San Antonio. I can't even imagine. Like, I want to give you a hug. I actually feel that way. For me, when the Patriots lost to the Giants in Super Bowl 42, I mean, obviously the Patriots played like crap most of that game, and that's why the Giants won. But there was some flukish thing that happened there, too. To have been winning this game like the Cougars were, and for it to all fall apart like it did, and then to have that happen at the end where you turned the ball over the last four possessions and you didn't even get a shot off on the last of those possessions, and it was a two-point game, too. Like it was always there for the taking the whole way. Like that, living with that sucks. I can't dump on them. They know it. We all know it. It sucks. It just is absolutely a brutal way to lose, to end your college career. Like, what if Jaylon Roberts never plays again? I'm sure he'll play somewhere professionally. I don't know if he'll make it to the NBA, or if he's going to be in Europe or something like that. But, like, this is the biggest game of your life, and it ended like that.
Yeah.
Damn, bro.
To speak to that, I mean, I think it was after that, like, first commercial break that they go when they're setting up the podium. What I did is I pulled out my phone and I Googled, basically, does Emmanuel Sharpe have another year of college? Or does career just end?
Yeah, at least he has.
And he is a junior, so
at least he can come back.
He can come back.
And Criers won a national title.
Yes.
But I feel like for Roberts, this sucks. It just sucks.
Yeah, no. I mean, for all the, I mean, even Sharpe, too. It sucks for all these guys just because, I mean, if any program knows just how you can be really good every year, but just making it that close, just it's not something that you can chalk it up to, like, hey, listen, they got a top five recruiting class coming in next year. They're bringing a lot of guys back, but it's like, this is still the first time you've played in a national championship game since the 80s. Like, it's still hard. You've had a lot of good teams. It's hard to be in the spot that they're up 12 in the second half of a championship game. And even, I mean, they're leading with like very little, 3 minutes left.
Florida didn't hit a field goal the last 3 minutes and 14 seconds.
That's what it was. Yeah. It's just such a tough pill to swallow.
Right. And I know there's people pointing at the referees, the inconsistency from half one to half two. I will allow that. I'm not going to go through the specifics of every single call. There was the missed goaltend, of course. I had multiple people texting me in the second half asking, hey, is this different? And I thought to myself, well, there's certainly more fouls being called all of a sudden, and I don't like that, but I didn't feel like it was geared against the Cougs. It just felt like they forgot what happened the first half, where, of course, the Cougs, with all their big guys, are going to shove people around a lot. To go from the first half to the second half and changing it up, that was bad by the refs. But still, you got to score, you know? There's a whole other element of the game.
What I noticed, in the second half, the first part of it, Florida picked up five fouls in like 2 minutes.
Right. It was early. I mean, because both were in the bonus at the end. It wasn't like it was just the Cougs in the bonus.
I was going to say, like, no one had a problem with the official calling a lot of fouls the first 2 minutes of the second half, except for Florida's bench, who got a tech. And after that point,
that tech sucked, too. That was such a lame tech. Both of the techs were lame. It was like, come on, guys. So, like, it's not like the Cougs didn't get anything in their favor in that one. I mean, I'll let you point at Ted Cruz more, even though we don't. I spent a lot of time this morning looking up the specific numbers for Ted Cruz, who apparently has been there for some championships and stuff.
Yeah, he's. I think was it? I forgot who it was. Was it with the Astros where he had like his like campaign staff like clap back with some stats?
Rolling Stone had posted an article, and he immediately fired back with the vitriol of a thousand suns. Lying hacks, Rolling Stone. For 7 years, Catherine and I have attended nearly every Astros home playoff game. I haven't won all of them. Just saying. Yeah. If they're going to blame me for our recent home losses, please credit us for two World Series championships and seven consecutive ALCSs. We were there cheering the Stros on. Okay. Again, these are things that we can discuss. But more than anything, let's all agree, the Cougs are the reason the Cougs lost, okay? And it sucks, and we got to live with it. And, hey, you know, number one on ESPN.com going into the 2025-2026 season.
Oh, way too early, number one?
They are the way too early number one. I saw John Fanta do the same thing, so you got that.
Oh, Fanta, too. Love Fanta.
I'm not a big Fanta guy, but good for the Cougs going into next year.
The worst thing you could have done is tell me that you don't like Fanta.
Yeah. He's you know what? The guy loves college basketball.
Yeah. I'll give him that. So what, he looks like Chris Farley's motivational speaker. Who cares?
He looks like Matt Foley a little bit. That is true. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show. Cougs lost. Damn it. 713-780-3776 to call. To text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We're going to give you a little break in case you missed it. Everything else you might have missed over the weekend in sports. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Several questions. Steel Curtain asked on Twitch, where does this rank in Houston sports moments, the worst Houston sports moments? He says 2019 Astros first. This is a possible second. Someone had texted in, Paul, you forgot the Oilers-Bills playoff game. Nope, that belongs to Tennessee. That actually belongs to Tennessee. We've established this on this show before.
We don't want Amy Adams mad at us and claiming the Oilers' history.
Right.
So they get all that.
They get 35-3. That's Nashville's heartbreaking moment. Like, they have absorbed the generational trauma away from us. Someone texted in, how do we get over this? How does one heal from this? You don't. You will hopefully forget about it someday.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
Hope that that UH wins a title and it numbs the pain a little bit, where this can be the start of the, like, they got knocked down, but they got up again.
Right. If they win next year, cool. The thing that sucks is they will never be as good as they were this past regular season.
And I mean,
they just won't. I mean, the odds are very much against that if they ever do win a national title, that they will be this good, you know? Because they were incredible this year.
And if you're a Cougs fan, like, you're watching, like you said, LJ Crier, Roberts. Like, you're watching these specific guys. And so, you know, it would be nice if they win next year, but, like, Juwan Roberts doesn't get to win next year. You know, like, it is going to be a different team, and especially with so much experience on this year's squad, that you, again, call it nature of college sports. Like, you don't know who's going to leave, who's going to transfer.
Right, exactly.
It's going to be a different squad.
For sure. More comments on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Anton has a thought on the Cougs' devastating loss to Florida last night. Anton, what you got?
How you doing, fellas?
Doing well. Or to a degree. You know, we're alive.
I wasn't rooting for Houston last night. I was actually rooting for Florida.
Bro!
But that's beyond the point.
That is, I don't know. That's beyond the point, Anton. Son of a biscuit.
That's beyond the point. Now, what I really called about, man, I really hope that the people of Houston and the people at U of H ran really support the dude Sharp.
Yeah.
Because it's not totally that man's fault. You know, there was a lot of key especially those last four positions. There was a lot of key turnovers down the stretch, and, like, a lot of people's complaining about the refereeing and the no goaltending, but it was a tale of two halves. I mean, that was calls and non-calls throughout the whole game, so you can't blame the referees for that. But I just hope that everybody in Houston supports that guy, man, because that's a tough pill to swallow. So that's all I really have to say.
I'm with you, Anton, and appreciate the phone call. If we don't appreciate that you were rooting for Florida,
cackling was a bit more.
Yeah, the cackling hurt my heart.
Ready to cut this guy's vine.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't quite, Walter Clayton going up to Emmanuel Sharp while he was on the court,
patting him on the back,
but it did feel like that. Did feel like that a little bit, right? It did feel like that a little bit. But I agree. I mean, Emmanuel Sharp, buddy, it's time to hit the gym. This is time for post breakup bod. You know, something like this happens, you're just gonna have to put together the greatest offseason of your life. Maybe it makes him a better player. Maybe he ends up having a great NBA career because this offseason he just cannot do anything but try to improve as a player. But I'm with Anton. There were so many other mistakes that happened. His just happened to be at the end after all of the many missed shots. Like, I mean, it was
so many.
One of the worst offensive games I've ever seen. I mean, I hope some people took my advice to take the under, but even then, I didn't think it would be that bad.
No, it was pretty, it was close, but it was pretty comfortable under there. I remembered at the end of the first half when they were doing the halftime show, the hypothetical question about taking a shot after every miss. And I saw that both teams were shooting like 38%. Oh, I was like,
felt high.
Of course, you would die.
That felt high.
You have died in the first 10 minutes when they started 1-for-13 from three, the two teams combined.
Oh my gosh. Clank, clank, clank.
Loud
clank,
misses. Clank.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when the first one went in and we were watching at Porch Wing Pub the first half. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So they're and not.
The Malik Wilson bank.
Because I was really wondering, wait, have they hit 1-3? Has anyone hit a three?
Yeah.
I mean, there were air balls and just whiffs. Yeah. It was rough.
It was rough. And Emmanuel Sharpe, like, to me, he got kind of caught with the, like, shortened. Like, someone eventually was going to have to shoot. He made a poor decision, but that was an absolute flaming bag of a final possession.
Terrible. Like, and people are going to blame Kelvin Sampson on it. That's ultimately the players who are out there. You can draw up the play, and whatever was drawn up, they were very slow getting into whatever set they were supposed to get into. Then all of a sudden, they start panicking because they're realizing there's 5-6 seconds left, and they haven't even angled themselves towards to a spot where they could shoot towards the hoop.
The ball would never came inside the three-point line.
Nope.
And
some
of that is, I thought there was some pretty poor screening on that final play, but a lot of that
it was mucky.
A lot of that you do have to credit Florida, like just like how Monday show we were crediting the Cougs for forcing those Duke mistakes inbounding the ball, like they were playing great defense there. That forced Sion James to act like he's never played basketball before.
Yep.
There's a little bit of that where you watch that play back and Florida was all over everything. And super shout out to Walt Clayton. I know no one wants to hear this. Super shout out to Walt Clayton on that closeout where have you seen the freeze frame of like where he was when Emmanuel Sharpe got the ball? He was inside the 3-point line. He came flying out to disrupt that shot. I mean, two great teams would have liked something head towards the basket.
Yep.
But when they called the timeout, I did have the thought. I was like, oh, it's a 2-point game. Like, knowing Cougs basketball, they just need to throw something at the rim and hope that Francis or Roberts tips it in.
Exactly. Which, I mean, theoretically would have worked. But, you know, they got in the foul trouble. The game changed a little bit because you got all these big dudes. And then all of a sudden, the strength of the Cougs, they really couldn't work through it. Some comments here. Coug Blaze had a rough night. I have no voice today and hung over all for nothing. I almost got into a fight with some Gator fans last night. I was trying to eat a cheeseburger and drown my sorrows, and they started talking bleep. I do not like that. If you won a championship, and again, some people, they haven't won as many as, you know, me, being a 6-time Super Bowl champion, it's tough. I've lost track of all the championships I've won. Don't be a jerk to somebody who just lost. I actually think that if you get your ass beat by somebody while trolling them after you just beat them in a championship, I think you deserve whatever comes to you.
Yeah.
Short of murder, but I mean,
if it
gets to that point, I mean, you're kicking a person when they are at, as a man, their lowest. It's the lowest you could ever feel over something that,
as a sports fan,
doesn't really relate to your life at all. Exactly.
When you said as a man, I was like, let's, as a sports fan.
Nothing worse than losing a championship.
No.
It's the worst loss you'll ever feel in your life.
And I already know that the Florida fans are doing that stupid gator chomp in your face.
So. Oh, yeah.
You would have been justified.
Yes.
But don't do it. But you would have been justified.
You would have been justified. Don't do it. Someone also texted in, Paul, I took your advice to go to FAO yesterday after work. I woke up jobless today. Thank you. Well, I guess the calling in sick didn't work. I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry.
And someone else will. Hopefully those medical equipment, the medical equipment driver.
Yeah, that was, hope it wasn't that guy.
Hope the hospital got whatever.
I hope
they
at least the people didn't. Yeah, that there were no casualties as a result of your decision to watch the Cougs. Ryan lost in Texas. Being hungover and happy is fine. Being hungover and sad is horrible. Yes,
that is fun. I was thinking that a lot of people are just going to be hungover no matter what. Once it was like a close game, I was like, "There's someone." It just ratcheted up the emotional distress so much.
When I'm depressed, I binge watch things.
Oh yeah, what were we thinking? Breaking Bad.
I'm already in the middle of The Wire rewatch.
I knew.
Paul, are you depressed right now? But well, you know what's funny is actually the process of rewatching shows I've already watched makes me feel depressed, even if I have no reason to actually be depressed.
I saw you get into it about whichever season was better.
Oh well, listen, I don't want to kick Chris Baldwin while he's down.
Oh, I didn't know who. All right,
Chris Baldwin. So Chris Baldwin's done a great job covering the Cougs.
He has. We've used a lot of his content on the show.
While watching The Wire, I was talking about how season two of The Wire is a season that gets a lot of hate. If you've ever watched this season of The Wire, there's a character named Ziggy who has literally zero redeeming qualities, other than he's packing. He's got a hog. So he's got that going for him.
So he has one redeeming quality.
He has a massive penis, apparently, you know? And Chris Baldwin said, like, hey, early in your career, you were a lot like Ziggy. And I've never wanted to fight someone more. But now if I were Emmanuel Sharp and Walker Clayton's patting me on the head after I just blew it for my school, that trumps that. So, yeah, that made me angry. I was mad for a good 3 hours after that I got compared to Ziggy. I was so angry about that. I don't even know if it was inaccurate. That's the worst part. I don't think it's accurate.
Or if he was doing it to get under his skin.
So, I think he wrote an article. Chris Baldwin wrote an article that wasn't about me back in, I think, 2013. But I just took a drive-by in said article. Where somebody who used to host a radio show with me back at another station, Barry Warner, he had like revealed a private conversation I'd had with him where he kind of asked me in a very patronizing way, like, what do they teach you, Paul, at Syracuse? And I said, well, they didn't really teach me much because I did campus radio on my own. So I sort of learned things on my own. And then just randomly, like months later in an article after, I guess he and 610 went different ways, he just did a drive-by on me. He's like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. And I was like, oh, thanks. Thanks for relaying our private conversation. That's nice. So I was reminded of that article in the moment. And my first thought was, I can't say that word. But my first thought was, well, first, F Chris Baldwin, and two, Barry, I love, but I was mad at Barry for a moment too.
And
over
F
something that
Ziggy.
Happened 11 years ago. 12, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, it's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We'll give you a Cougs break. Everything else you missed over the weekend in sports before at 1 o'clock. What's the worst Houston sports loss ever? We're getting through our depression together today, guys. Stick around.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Cougs lost. Everything sucks. Some folks be trolling. Texter asks on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, did Dream make it to the court? F you, buddy. F you. He should have been allowed on the court. So that person who didn't let him on the court to be part of a moment of fleeting joy for the Cougs after they beat Duke. I hope that person is feeling worse than Emmanuel Sharp today. I hope that person,
security guard, yeah.
I hope that person thinks about that moment for the rest of his life, about how he stopped a Houston legend, about how he stopped a Muslim from going on the court. I hope he thinks about it like that too. Like, I want him to think he's just an absolute like racist and religiophobic. Is that a word?
Islamophobic.
Yeah. I want him to sit in that the rest of his life.
62-year-old man.
Yeah.
He was like, who's the 62-year-old 7-foot guy? Can't let him in.
Unbelievable. Robert has a thought on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Robert, what's up?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. And you guys may have covered it. I didn't get to listen to all the show. I was, however, listening to the bench some this morning on my way into the office, and man, I felt like John wasn't being very objective when they were talking about Kelvin Sampson. And I think, to be realistic about him as a coach, I think he's an exceptional recruiter, especially when it comes to getting the kind of players he wants in his system to be successful. And as a motivator, he's probably second to none in getting those players to just kind of sell out and play the style of basketball they play as hard as they can for as long as they can. It's evident on the floor. But when it comes to X's and O's, Sampson gets exposed, and last night was certainly evident to support that. I've seen it in other times when he, you know, just kind of along his career path where he's been, but, you know, you can't have those types of possessions that they had on offense in those last four series and not start kind of drawing into question. You know, John kept arguing they have plays, they have sets. I think they have an offensive concept that they run around, but as far as sets and plays that are designed to kind of help players get out of their own way at times and not have to think as much and be part of a process, they don't really have that. And then one more point on the defensive side, I got nervous as the fouls started to rack up, because once they put teams in the bonus, it's not really about defense anymore, because you can't defend a free throw. And the last 3.5 minutes of that game was nothing but uncontested 15-footers for Florida, and they were really good from the line. And that's what ended up being the demise of the Cougars.
Yeah, Robert, that's a great call. First off, let's address point number one. Every coach has a weakness, and I think that's a very fair one, not just from last night's game, but from the entirety of the tournament. Sometimes the offense, it's a mess, and you can point at the talent, but more than any other team that Kelvin Sampson's had with the Cougs, this team had more people that know how to play offense, for lack of a better term. Guys who could dribble, guys who can shoot. You know, with both Cryer and Sharp, maybe you argue, well, last year was Shed. That's the best backcourt he ever had, and Shed, of course, rolls his ankle. And then you saw what happened down the stretch of that game where it felt like they had an arm behind their back. But multiple times during this tournament, the offense looked like it was just having a hard time doing anything at all.
Yeah, yeah. And especially, I think this game against Florida, like, especially puts it in contrast, because you were seeing what Todd Golden was doing to get Walter Clayton going in the second half, where he kind of stopped doing the high screen and roll stuff. He had him running off ball more, had him cutting to the basket more. He got at least one and one. He might have gotten two and ones like that, where he's cutting to the basket and the big is drawing his man out and passing it to him just to get, I mean, he started, what, 0 for his first six? So he, like, that's what Florida was doing to get some easy looks for the best player. And on the other side of the court, you would just see, I mean, the Cougs, grind this possession out that was, like, hard to watch. And they would get a decent look, but they weren't getting easy ones. Same thing in that Duke game for the first 30 minutes of it until Duke stopped scoring, was that Duke was getting a little bit better of looks, and they're getting them way easier than the Cougs, who are getting decent looks, but they're working hard to get them.
And that can be a reflection of talent. And I do think sometimes we overrate play calls by a basketball coach.
100%.
Because you do not have the same control that you theoretically do in football. So I think there are definitely reasons to push back. A lot of texters are texting and pushing back on this, yeah. And they are kind of funny. One text, ask this dip bleep what level of basketball he coaches. Another from the 832, so tired of these weak-ass bandwagon fans saying Samson doesn't know X's and O's because they've lost. You don't win 20 games with no plays. Winning, whining bitches. He wraps it up by saying, look, saying that he could be better in certain spots does not mean the same as he can't call plays. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
Like just think about it from this perspective. Is every single coach in college basketball perfect? No. That is something that, of the many things that you can point at and say, oh my God, Kelvin Sampson brings incredible things to the table with this group of players who loves playing for him. There's always going to be one thing that you maybe have some questions about, and I'm not going to go so far as to say it's like Tom Thibodeau in the NBA, but did we not talk about that several times?
We've mentioned Thibodeau before, and I he's obviously way better than Thibodeau.
Yes.
But I think that, it's a thing where he's 99 on coaching defense, 99 on rebounds, and building an identity for a team, which is very hard to do. Ask, I don't know, 300 coaches in college basketball how hard it is to build an identity the way that Kelvin Sampson has. But I think it's fair that it's like, hey, the offensive side of things, probably 85 if we're giving him mad ratings for this kind of stuff, where he's still good, but it's at the very top of the sport, the last 5 minutes of a national championship game against another number one seed. Like, that's where the little differences get exposed. I think some of it also is, like, the type of players he wants, very rarely can you do the things that he's demanding these guys to do, rebounding and defense.
That's the other thing, too.
And is also going to be a Kemba Walker, like, bail you out last 5 seconds of a possession.
I mean, Cryer's the closest thing, I think, that they've had to something like that. And it's not to say Cryer doesn't do anything on the defensive end. But, no, you're right. I think today's basketball player doesn't want to play defense as well, and I hate
it's
that.
It's that viral tweet about the Houston Cougars have two hoopers and three guys that could play for the Pittsburgh Steelers on their team. Like, that's what it is that at a certain point you do need you do need someone at the end of the day that can be that, all right, we need a shot, like, jump on my back. I'm just going to ISO this guy.
One last thought before we move on. I think the commentator said it was ironic that the Cougs lost with everyone diving on the floor after they just went viral for their practice videos of them diving after.
That is a little ironic.
Ugh, that hurts. That hurts a little
bit. Andy Condon, who was terrible in the first half. Condon, big, did not want to be there the first 10 minutes of that game. He definitely had back-to-back possessions where he traveled, looking for someone to pass to. I think he had three in the first half before they yanked him. He ended up having a pretty decent game, settling into things. But I remember that first half, I was like, oh, the Cougs got this guy. Especially after that Duke center, Malawak, got finished with, what was it, like 4 points, four fouls and zero rebounds. I was like, oh, Condon's in hell right now. And, you know, credit to Florida and to him. They did bounce back from there. But, I mean, it was such a Houston Cougars game that it's very, very surprising that they lost. Like, it really, emotionally, I was at the exact 180 of the Duke game, where I was like, I cannot believe that Duke just lost this game. I was like, I can't believe that Houston didn't win this game.
Great way to frame it, Sean. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to weigh in on the Cougs losing? You can. I see some people like, talk about Michael Malone getting fired by the Nuggets. I don't, to be frank, I truly don't fucking care.
Probably tomorrow.
Can't say that. Sorry, Sean. I don't care about that right now. I don't care about Aaron Rodgers potentially signing with the Steelers. I don't care about the Astros' fifth starting pitcher. This is what happened last night. We got to get through it together. So let's get through it together. You want to vent? You can. You know how to do it. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around. Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.